Oh my God. What a prima donna. Let me see if I understand what's going on here. Mr. Brockler says, I've had enough for the day. I need a little me time. I don't want to do the last hour of my own show. You just go and get somebody else to come in here and finish up the little bit of time I got left. Because I don't feel like finishing up the rest of my show. And you know what management does? They go, oh, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Brockler. Yes, Mr. Brockler. Here's your extra large Venti Grande with a twist, just like you ordered. No. I wanted it with extra foam. I just saw that going on in the hall just as he was leaving and the limo picked him up. I don't know why they put up with this man. Insane. Hey, I'm John Caldera. So glad to spend some time with you. Oh, what is it, George? George had like a real job to go to. You know, work, he says. Well, get Caldera. It's not like he runs a think tank. It's not like he actually does anything. And I said, well, be that as it may, I could have had a doctor's appointment. You don't know. You just can't call me up at the last moment like that. It just so happens I wasn't doing anything, and I was working on a very high score on my Xbox machine. And I demand a little respect. All right. So I know George was taking on the East High School shooting. I watched a little bit of the news coverage last night. I try not to tune in to the television machine. And it is. It's all so tragic. I think I can do this with you. Because to you, it will not come across as cold or as mean. And I'll try to do it gently, because it will come off as icy. It is a tragic, tragic situation, as all these shootings are. But I find myself watching the parents who are there screaming at Mayor Hancock and the newer chief of police as they are saying, what are you going to do about this? As a parent, I am petrified about being called up to pick up my kid from school, and they might not be there. They might be shot. What are you going to do? I'm watching some of these video clips online, and I'm slapping myself in the forehead. Taking away the emotion of this tragedy, putting that aside, if at all possible, then I know it is the curse of conservatives to be able to compartmentalize some of their emotion and see more logically. This is a terrible, terrible curse. But I'm there slapping my face going, are you people morons? Are you really that stupid? You voted for this. How in the world can you be yelling at the police to do something when you voted in a school board that voted to remove the police from your schools. You are yelling at the wrong people. When Mayor Hancock, who I am not at all a fan of, when Mayor Hancock tried to make that very salient, logical, accurate point, he was shouted down. Mayor Hancock, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are not, welcome to my world, where facts do not matter, where outrage wins the day, and raw emotion washes over any sort of sense of anything. So here's the chief of police and the mayor promising to put police in schools into a district that has kicked out the police. Instead of doing what I think I would have done, which is joining those parents in anger and screaming at the doorsteps of the school, why did you kick us police out of the schools? Instead of just naming the school board members who voted to kick police out of the schools, instead of saying we are going to put police back into the schools, instead of saying, well, you know, it's not really our fault, we do, no, to scream to hell with this DPS school board. They are the ones responsible for this shooting. How dare they leave these teachers and these students unprotected? Lady, you're angry? I'm more angry. Here he is, a term-limited mayor with not much to lose. At least politically. I know you'll be shuffling around for a job soon, because that's what term-limited politicians do. Hopefully to get bought up by some law firm or PR firm. And he's going to have a tough life, because he's going to have to scrape for clients. Imagine if he turned around and said, this blood is on the hands of that school board. You see these men in uniform? These men in uniform that might well have prevented this shooting? That might well have stopped this shooting? That might well have deterred this shooting? They were kicked out of these schools by those school board members. Don't yell at me, lady. Go after them. I am not taking the fall for this. This good chief of police is not taking the fall for this. These socialistic, anti-police, emotionalistic school board members need to stand up and say, we erred. We were wrong. This blood is on our hands, and we are sorry. Did they do that? No. No, they didn't do that. And it's about time we lay some blame. How in the world do the people of Denver keep voting for socialists, voting against police, voting to defund police, and then yell at the police when things go crazy? That's why I'm slapping my forehead when I watch these people in anger. So I take the Denver Gazette. It's a great, great paper. It's online. It's so nice to have two newspapers in this town again. And several times they've shown a photograph of these East high school kids pushing for gun control, or as the reporters call it, laws to end gun violence, which I just find adorable. I think adorable is the right word. And they've shown a couple times a sign, kids holding a sign that say, and this for me hits the very point. A kid holding a sign that says, I want to feel safe. I want to feel safe. This, to me, summarizes everything about the gun control debate. And, to be honest, a lot of the leftist thinking about Black Lives Matter, about law enforcement, about social justice, all the rest. I want to feel safe. None of it says, I want to be safe. I want to feel safe. Great. You can outlaw guns. You can put up waiting periods and you can put up all sorts of feel-good stuff. And maybe you will feel safe. My hometown of Boulder, Colorado, has a law that says nuclear weapons are not allowed in the town of Boulder. Well, I feel safe. I feel so wonderfully, wonderfully safe. While the rest of you blow up in the next apocalypse, when China and Russia are raining down terror in the form of nukes, I am sure they will go through the rule books and go, Chairman Z, Mr. Putin, President Putin, we went through the books here. Oh, see that small little dot over there next to Denver? Yeah, it's called Boulder. They have a law that says it is illegal to put a bomb there, a nuclear weapon. I mean, we could gas them. We could use conventional explosives. We cannot drop the bomb there. I could see Putin gritting his teeth, slamming his fist down on the desk. Damn! Ugh. Foiled. What are my options? Generals say, well, we can bomb the Denver metro area, Longmont, Lafayette, Superior, Lyons is above it, all around. I think we can carefully eradicate every area around Boulder, but we'll have to be very careful. But thanks to our precision, we won't nuclear target Boulder. But within a few days, we'll cut off their supplies and they will die of starvation. Putin goes, very well, make it happen. And that I'm sure that's what's going to happen. And because of that, I feel safe in Boulder. That is how crazy anti-gunnies are. And so when they kick out the police, when they kick out the police in DPS, the place that has seen the most violence, the largest growth in homicide rates in years, what the hell do you expect is going to happen? Let me go further. When the lockdowns and the lockdown madness happened, I write a column for the Gazette newspapers, and I was very clear on this, and I don't do this in a told you so manner, but it was very clear to me that that the cure that they were putting out, locking kids out of school, locking kids out of socialization, locking kids away from teachers and therapists, locking them in with abusive parents and abusive situations, locking them away from those people who could see if they were being abused, was going to have massive traumatic effects. Keeping them away from their sports, their extracurricular activities, their after-school jobs. That the cure was going to be so much more painful than the disease. That COVID was going to be bad, but the treatment was going to be more deadly. And sure enough, now we know kids were the most healthy of them all. The elderly, the sick, the weak were the ones at risk. Kids in school, the young, could withstand COVID the best, the absolute best. What was going to happen when we locked them out of society and let them brood in their basements for 2 years? They were going to go crazy. It wasn't hard to see. Good God Almighty, if a moron like me could see it coming, you would think all the experts sitting around chatting with themselves in Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting with endless money being printed out of nowhere could see it as well. But what did they do? They wanted to feel safe. So they closed down the schools and made themselves unsafe. They kept kids away from each other and away from their activities and away from teachers. So teachers couldn't spot kids in trouble. They took away police. So what happens when it all breaks down? They blame the police, kick the police out of schools. They put progressives in charge of our cities and our legislatures. They take away our gun rights. They tell people they can no longer conceal carry their guns so they can't protect themselves. And more shootings happen. But I want to feel safe. So they keep doing more. Oh my God Almighty. How to say this? And it's going to come across the wrong way. So I apologize before this ugliness comes out of my mouth. I am so sorry these tragedies keep happening, but they are a direct result of what you voted into power. Do you not see that, Denver? Do you not see that, Colorado? What is wrong with you? You're screaming at the mayor when you voted people into office that yanked cops out of your schools, and you're screaming for the cops to do something? Are you completely, totally insane? All right, let's take a breather. I see you on the line there, Bill. I'll get you when we get back. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. It's 29 minutes after. I'm John Caldera, in for George. I'm going to get to these calls. Before I do, let's take a quick little detour. My friend Stephen Tubbs has an interesting choice in dentists, and he decided to follow his. Hey, Stefan, you just can't stay away, can you?
Hey, John, good morning to you. Yeah, I just wanted to update Dr. Jim Craig, who is the Aurora dentist accused of poisoning his wife over the course of a couple of weeks earlier this month. He had his second court appearance, and court started a little more than an hour ago, a little less than an hour ago, and it was only about a 10-minute appearance. But I got to tell you, for me to see my former dentist at Summerbrook Dental in Aurora, a guy that I used to advertise for, to see him in a kind of a ratty orange top and orange bottoms, shuffling in
weird.
Because he, brother, I haven't seen, I was just telling Bill off the air, I probably haven't seen Dr. Craig in probably 5 years, certainly pre-pandemic is the last time I saw him. But I moved, and so I decided to get another dentist, right? And it was just a little bit more convenient. But I've said this multiple times this week, John. As of like 3 o'clock Monday afternoon, when I had not realized that this is the man who was the dentist that everybody was talking about, if you would have asked me, hey, I need somebody good in Aurora to do some dental stuff, John, I would have said without hesitation, Dr. Jim Craig, the nicest guy, totally competent, family man, seemingly runs a tight ship in business. And, you know, I know that there are hundreds or if not thousands of patients now that are in my position, but it's just weird that now I'm in court this morning for his second court appearance. It was basically a status hearing. He's next in court Friday afternoon,
question.
April 7th.
Yeah. Stupid question. Did he recognize you? Did you guys lock eyes?
He made zero eye contact with anyone, and it was a packed courtroom. His family was behind, as if you're facing the judge, his family's on the left side. Friends and family of Angela Craig, his now late wife, on the right-hand side. But he came in, shuffled. He looked absolutely terrible. He looked like obviously disheveled. I'll give more description this afternoon on the program when we start at 4. But just amazing, and did not ever make any eye contact. He did answer a couple of questions. The judge asked him, "Yes, yes, I do. No, yes," and then that was it. But this was not a preliminary, this was not the preliminary hearing. Or this was just basically a status conference. I think at the next one, John, he's gonna hear the charges. I do encourage you, all your friends at the Independence Institute. We've started a podcast. It's called Arsenic DDS, and I'm actually coming in to tape our next episode, but we launched that last night. You can find it on the station's website, 710knus.com, my show's homepage, and social media as well. And it was a packed courtroom, John, and it's only going to get crazier if this thing goes to trial.
How insane. How absolutely insane. Hey, well, thanks for keeping us up to date on it, and remember, tune in at 4 o'clock and get more detail.
Thank Stefan, you, brother.
How weird. How very tragic. All right. Thank you so much, Stefan. All right. 303-696-1971. Back to the shooting in East High School. It's just up to the street from where I work. And I'm angry. I'm angry at the people of Denver who are schizophrenic. They are just emotionalistic. They vote in people who hate the cops, get the cops out of the school district, and then are angry at the cops for not being there. I'm sorry. It's like dealing with toddlers, absolute toddlers. Let's go to the phones and talk to Bill. Hey, Bill, welcome. You're with John Caldera.
Good morning, sir. I've listened to you off and on for years and have enjoyed that. Even though we disagree politically on most issues. Anyway, talking about the police and the schools, I've got to first of all say that I worked with a school that had just an absolutely wonderful school resource officer. I thought the world of him. He was a genuinely good man. That being said, I can't help but remember the mighty Texas Rangers down at Vivaldi School, where they had, a hundred cowardly cops sitting around.
Unforgivable.
And, you know, it makes me think that, you know, having school resource officers might not help as much as we'd like to think. Now, the officer that I'm referring to, he wouldn't have been standing out, you know, listening to kids get shot. You know, I'm not painting him with that brush, but I am painting an awful, well, 100 cops standing around, you know, listening to kids get shot. You know,
well, and there's a difference there, which was going to lead me into my next point, which is, and we will likely disagree strongly on this, but I'm very well convinced of this. You know, there's a reason why air marshals work so well in the sky, that if a plane is hijacked in an airplane, often there's a sky marshal. This is somebody who works for the federal government, and he has a gun, and he's there to catch guys who are trying to hijack. Now, it's not a very efficient way of doing it. So after 9/11, volunteers who are pilots can go get trained on how to use a gun in a plane, and they volunteer to carry a gun. And about one in every 10 flights has an armed pilot. They are trained not how to arrest people or bust drug dealers or, you know, take down shoplifters. They're there for the one incident of hijackers, people who are trying to use a plane or take down a plane. And they're taught how to shoot in a plane and how to stop somebody who does that. And I feel very comfortable that in one out of every 10 flights, there is a pilot who has been trained for that one terrible situation. In Colorado,
I disagree with you about what you're saying there.
You don't feel comfortable having those pilots trained for that situation?
Excuse me, sir?
You don't feel comfortable having pilots trained for that situation?
No. I'm saying I don't see why you and I would disagree.
Oh, okay. You're probably going to maybe we'll disagree on my next step.
Okay.
Which is, the reason that works is it's prohibitively expensive to have cops, basically air marshals, just sit in a seat waiting and waiting and waiting and doing nothing, not even serving coffee, waiting for a hijacker, while a pilot has all this other stuff to do. Training school staff who are willing to carry a gun to do the same thing, to me, makes good sense. Not to bust kids for talking loud in class, but for the possibility of a shooting. That if one in every...
I'm sorry.
Let me finish this quick little, give me 1 minute. So in about 40 districts in Colorado, they have armed, trained school staff. They are trained to a higher degree than police are. And these are people who might be teachers, they might be school administrators, they might be coaches, and they're doing other jobs. But they are trained and certified and insured. And they don't have the same problem that the Uvalde cops have. They work with these kids. They are getting shot at as well as the kids. And these people will shoot back. And so I think the long-term solution, I think the only solution that is cost-effective, is to have more armed staff that will be able to stop these shooters. I don't see any other realistic, cost-effective solution other than doing what the air marshals do, which is arm pilots. We need to arm and train willing school staff.
You know, I guess we do disagree on that matter, but I think that probably not on the basis you would have initially anticipated. Some of the buffoons I've seen work for Denver schools, I'd feel less safe knowing that they had guns they are not the solution. And that has, and, you know, that can be a hand-wringing, overly anxious teacher, or, you know, I knew some right-wing teachers that had, you know, concealed weapon permits, and, you know, knowing them, I sure wouldn't want them going around the school with a gun. There are
well,
few no,
people, it might be the same people you know as cops as well. You know, I agree with you. That's why there needs to be very strict testing, very strict training, very strict recertification.
Part of the time when I was working at the school, I had a concealed weapon permit, and our school resource officer once said that if there was an emergency, he wouldn't think twice about handing me his service weapon. And I told him, man, I wouldn't want your, you know, I don't want your weapon. You're the one who's trained. But this is a good guy. You know, he was a good officer. And, you know, it's that old staying on an icy road. It's easy to go into the left ditch. It's easy to go into the right ditch. But it can be awfully hard to stay on the road. But
it is, but when you're talking about your kids, you know, the Uvalde problem is a real problem. If the teacher had a gun, that would be very different. You know, the first rule is to keep our kids safe. If we're going to have our schools safe, we're either going to have to spend a prohibitive amount of money with armed staff there. Those could be cops. They could be security forces, but you and I both share the same concern. I go to King Supers now, where the shooting was. It's a King Supers I go to. I went to there for years. And I look at the, quote, security guards, and how to put this, they don't instill a lot of confidence in me. These don't look like kids who are going to lay down their lives to protect me and my kids. They're rent-a-cops. They're there as a deterrent. They remind me very much of the Uvalde police. They're not going to come rushing in to save my life.
I'm worried we're agreeing on too many things, and I've spent years disagreeing with you on matters. You know, I don't want this point to get lost. Denver schools, or at least in my experience, they just do an absolutely putrid job with dealing with kids with severe, you know, emotional problems and you know, behavior plans and stuff. You know, this group goes to a training, and now after, you know, a four-hour training where a half hour of that's donut time, you know, all of a sudden they're an expert and, you know, they're very evangelical about, you know, this area of so-called expertise. And yet, they're just so ineffective. The best I've seen in practice was a private school that I worked at a few years ago. And they only had one rule, and that was be kind. And they taught kindness. And,
You'd be surprised how many private schools have armed staff. And they are the safest schools in the Denver metro area. I got to run. Thanks for the call. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Keep it here, 710 KNUS. So, the people of Denver, the parents of Denver, scream bloody murder at the police chief of Denver for not having police in their schools. While they voted for the school board, the commie school board, who kicked out the police from their schools. The school resource officers, SROs, they're called, were kicked out of Denver Public Schools. And the parents and the kids are saying, I don't feel safe. What a great example of the lunacy of gun control. I don't feel safe. Here's the question I keep asking. Do you want to feel safe? Or do you want to be safe? If you want to feel safe, great. Keep doing all the crap you're doing in Denver and doing at the legislature. Keep putting in gun control. Keep kicking out the police. You want to be safe? Beef up the police. Put bad guys in jail. Arm school staff. Yes, you heard that. That doesn't feel safe. No, it doesn't feel safe to you. It is safe. I'm John Caldera. Let's get to the phones. Let's talk to Patrick. Patrick, welcome. You're with John Caldera.
How are you, John?
So, I'm great, thanks.
My feelings, and I'm feeling less and less sorry for these people, ignorance has a price. And I turn on the TV rarely, but when I do, the main message I hear from any government spokesperson mouthpiece is, it's not your fault. You know, freedom comes with responsibility. You need to educate yourself, and you need to act upon those things. And if you sit there, you know, you say, why are these people screaming at the police? Well, it's not their fault. It's the police's fault. They're supposed to take care of me. I'm not supposed to act like a citizen who has responsibility for the, you know, the formation of my government and who's representing me. I just have to scream at the police because it's their job. Yet they don't pay attention to the fact that they've tried to emasculate the police and take their guns away from them and everything else. And I am just, you know, my wife and I, we move further and further away from people. And fortunately, we're in a position to be able to do that. And, you know, I'm getting close to retirement where I'm looking at places where there's not a lot of people. And I'm fed up with the stupidity.
Well,
I feel like...
excuse me. As you said, though, stop there for a second. As you said, fortunately, you have the means to do so. There are a lot of people
right.
who simply do not have those means. And that's really sad. Right. And they're not. So hang on. Wait. My turn.
Yep. I know.
There are people who aren't so fortunate. And like slavery, and I use that term advisedly, if you live in Denver, the law is you are compelled, coerced, to send your kids to a school of the government's choosing based upon where you live. You have no choice. You must do that. If you have the means, either by sending your kid to a private school or the means that a parent or you can stay home with a kid, which is a huge, huge expense, particularly if you're a single parent, it's impossible, then you can keep your kids safe. Otherwise, you have no choice. You, by law, must surrender your child to the state for 7 hours a day, and you have no choice in that. So whether you voted the right way or the wrong way, the state has coerced the most precious thing you have, your child, and placed your child in danger. Yeah, so I understand what you're saying, but you cannot protect your child when the state has procured your child from you.
Very, very true. That is very true. And, you know, but it's one more responsibility that people shun. They, that, you know, it's work. They want to come home, turn on the TV, watch Dancing with the Stars or whatever stupid fantasy show they want to watch, and just shut out life and ignore the issues that a responsible individual deals with and sacrifices their time to, you know, to solve the issues that they have.
I agree. I understand that. I also want to be I hate to say this because it's going to make me sound squishy. I also don't want to blame the victim here, which is why we got to find ways so that people can liberate themselves from a system that has entrapped them. Yeah, there are those people who don't want to get out. There are also those parents who do want to get out but don't have those means. And the system keeps trapping them because they can't get out. They don't have the car to move. They don't have the means to get out to a better district. They don't have a way to get out of the crime-infested Denver public school district. And they don't. Right. They can't do what you've done. And they need to. But right. I understand what you said. Hey, Patrick, I'm going to grab a couple of the other calls here before I run out of time. Thanks. Hey, Mike, we're going to need to put this in high gear. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Hi, John. Good to talk with you very much. What you guys were talking about, people not having the means of relocating, you got to go where the money is, where you think you can raise a family and you can do what you got to do to make a life and make a living. People can't all work from home. So you got people in the inner city that got to be there for a reason. But these are definitely not Chamber of Commerce moments. I've got a lot of military time. I've put hundreds of thousands of rounds downrange at government expense. And bottom line is, police are paramilitary. They need to get in there, they need to make contact with the enemy, and they need to pursue until he's either captured or down. And I'm just so disappointed in the way things happened from the King Supers up there, where those 10 people in those 48 minutes were allowed to bleed out.
Yep,
you
me
do
too.
Not, that is sick. And it's the same thing with Uvalde. These cops, you've got to have somebody at the top that has trust in his people down below, that those guys can work autonomously, like a guy that is on that airplane or a military guy in the field, knowing that he's going to make the best possible decision when the time comes that has to be made. But you've got these people at the very top that are hovering right over the top of their people, like Uvalde, like King Supers, and say, I'm not going to lose another officer to this. You guys stay the heck out of there. I'm not going to turn around and send somebody in not knowing what we're going into. No, you can't do that. If you're going to turn around and handle things appropriately.
I have the exact same questions. This is the store where I shop. People I know were there. I could have lost people there. And I want to know, and I've never gotten the answers. I want to see the video. Why did it take 45 minutes to capture this guy? Hey, I'm going to be filling in for George tomorrow. We can continue that conversation then. Keep it here on KNUS.